Many of us are doing a lot more cooking at home these days, and we might also be taking a second look at all those cookbooks on our shelves. And one book that's guaranteed a staple in thousands of kitchens is none other than The Joy of Cooking. For nearly 90 years, home cooks have sworn by The Joy of Cooking. Born out of the hardship of the Great Depression, the encyclopedia-like cookbook has guided families through countless holiday meals and weeknight dinners with recipes and techniques for just about everything. The new ninth edition of The Joy of Cooking is 1,156 pages and weighs about 5 pounds. John Becker, the great-grandson of the original Joy of Cooking author, and his wife Megan Scott led the revision process. They spent more than 9 years testing recipes and 5 years researching and writing this new edition. Ultimately, some recipes stayed, some were politely retired, and 600 new recipes were added. I spoke with John and Megan about this latest edition. I began by asking John, as the great-grandson of the original author, what was the origin story of The Joy of Cooking?
Well, so my great-grandmother Irma self-published the book in 1931 after her husband committed suicide. She had no professional training. And, both of her children had moved out, so she really, didn't have too many options. But for some reason, despite the fact that she had no formal training, let alone, renown for her cooking, she got it in her head to try self-publishing this cookbook. And it did well. She sold it by word of mouth, went into bookstores, sold it to bookstore owners by hand. And got a publisher in 1936. That first edition was much, much larger and included her signature recipe format called the Action Method, where the ingredients and the directions are kind of interspersed. So the whole recipe reads kind of like a narrative, which is really helpful in the kitchen, even if it's a little more difficult to write down a grocery list.
How was it originally received? Once it went out into the world, did people realize this is what I've been looking for? This is what I've needed?
I think in some ways, yes. So I think the reason her book resonated so much with readers was that at the time, most cookbooks were pretty dry, written by home economics professionals. And so they were cooking manuals. And Irma really injected her personality into The Joy of Cooking. And I think her readers really appreciated that sense of humor and the wittiness that she brought to the book. So it felt a little bit more like you had a friend with you in the kitchen than a teacher trying to explain everything in excruciating detail.
That's interesting. A cooking manual versus a cookbook. Mm-hmm. To your narrative
right.
point.
Yeah. No, exactly. She would intersperse the first three editions that she, contributed to. She really had little interludes of dry wit and, head notes that are just,
kind of
nice
punchy.
Chuckles.
Yeah.
What's an example? Do you remember? Do you have a favorite?
Oh, one that has been coming to mind lately, because when we were, of course, writing this edition, having to come up with head notes seems like it would be an easy thing to do, but I found it was not always easy. So one head note that Irma put in the book was, I wish I had something interesting to say about all these recipes, period.
Or saying this is a lot better than it sounds.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love her transparency.
Yes.
Before
very
call
honest.
It transparency.
No, she was brutally honest by all accounts.
Did you have experience in culinary writing before this, Megan?
I did not have any experience in culinary writing. So I actually started, I met John in 2010. We started working for Joy of Cooking the same year, later in that year. And I had just graduated from college in 2010 with a French degree. So no, I did not have any experience doing that. I did have experience in food, working in food. I had been a cheesemaker's apprentice. And when I met John, I was working in a bakery. So I had some culinary experience, but definitely not culinary writing.
How about for you, John?
I was a home cook. I took the 97 edition of Joy to college, and that's really when I started, getting familiar with the book and, trying to fend for myself in my tiny little dorm kitchen. I was actually pretty lucky, I think, to have, a kitchen at all in my dorm. I graduated with a lit degree and spent some time doing research and editing work with a former professor. And, I think together we published 17 different books, and that all gave me a lot of, you know, applicable skills, I guess. You know, I was thinking about graduate school, but, you know, at a very tender moment when I was having serious doubts about what I should be doing with my life, I encountered the 1963 dedication to joy that Marianne wrote. And it really hit me in a very special, you know, like it was a gut punch, really. You know, I think the parting of that dedication was, I hope that my sons and their wives continue to keep joy a family affair, beholden to no one but themselves and you, being the reader. And I don't know, those words really kind of set me in a completely different direction. And, you know, I mean, the book had always been there for me, you know, supposedly. You know, my dad never really tried to make it, you know, there was no pressure. But at that moment, I really did feel like, you know, it was time to pay it back and to try to continue the family tradition.
Sounded like that's the moment when it hit you that it's legacy, in a way.
Right, and that, you know, I was implicated.
Yeah. My guests are John Becker and Megan Scott. We're talking about The Joy of Cooking, the 2019 edition, the 9th edition. So you write in the intro, though, that some of the earlier revisions, editions made some mistakes, and they were mistakes you didn't want to make. What happened and what did you want to avoid?
Well, so in the 1997 edition, you know, there were a lot of really talented people working on that edition, folks who have come out with cookbooks of their own that are very well known. And so there was a lot of talent behind it. But we think that edition lost kind of the spark that made Joy of Cooking so popular with its readership. So it's kind of classic, the voice of Joy had been taken out. And a lot of the chapters that we consider to be part of Joy's appeal, so like the canning chapter and preserving frozen desserts, so all the ice creams, all that had to be cut because the manuscript was too large at the end of the process. And so we think that in that effort to just completely rewrite the book instead of revise it, something was lost in translation. And then in 2006, was kind of the family's effort to take the book back and reclaim its former glory. But in doing so, there was this emphasis on bringing back retro recipes and kind of taking it back to the 70s. And what we wanted to do was neither of those things. We didn't want to rewrite the book to be trendy, nor did we want to try to go back to some forgotten age that we have no, you know, John and I are both, you know, he's a Gen X and I'm a millennial. So we don't have any relationship to the 1970s. We don't care to go back to the 1970s. So what we wanted to do was just really thoughtfully revise the book and bring it into 2019, trying to keep in mind, you know, what kinds of questions are cooks in 2019 asking? What ingredients do they have accessible to them? And so we kind of wrote the book with that spirit. We didn't want to lose Joy's voice and its practicality, but we also didn't want to return to the past.
So you revised and updated 4,000 recipes in the book. You added 600 new ones. What was this testing process like?
Well, when we first started working for the family, we were doing nothing but testing recipes from the last edition, the 2006 edition. When we would test the recipes, we would do these genealogies, trying to figure out which edition they were added to and like maybe how they changed over time. A lot of the time there was some change, maybe even the title changed, so it made researching a little difficult. But we got to really know the book through that process. And I think by the time that we actually got to the point where we were, you know, starting the revision process and developing an overview of what we wanted to do, we had about 1,500 recipes under our belt. And that took like maybe, I guess it was the first 5 years that we were working for the book.
Yeah, that's about right.
So, we were in a pretty good, place to, you know, finish up like during the revision process, but it was definitely like we were feeling the deadline pressure for sure.
And we were definitely at the grocery store pretty much every day, and constantly the dishes, you know, we did all of our own dishes in a normal home kitchen. And so, you know, that was towards the end, I was pretty tired of doing dishes all day long.
And while Megan was talking about, you know, us not wanting the new edition to be a throwback to the 70s, that part of it most definitely was. We really tried to kind of go back to the whole revision process that made Joy what, you know, the household name that it is. You know, Marianne was testing recipes in her home, was doing all of the research herself. And, you know, in like the last two editions, there was a professional test kitchen that was involved and they did a great job. But there was also a lot, there was a lot that was kind of lost in the communication. And, you know, we just wanted to take it back to having like, you know, two cooks in the kitchen, two people, you know, taking those notes and making, you know, making, incorporating them into the revision. And
what went into the decision process for this new version of The Joy of Cooking to leave something out?
Kind of a variety of things. And it really depended on each situation was a little different. In some cases, we would delete things that really obviously were outdated. So the example we like to give is shrimp wiggle, which is a disturbing concoction.
Those are two words that should not be together.
Agree. It's like a bechamel with clam juice and ketchup in it, and then shrimp and green peas served over toast. So we absolutely cut things like that. You know, they're kind of funny to look at and laugh at on social media, but not so much in a cookbook that we want to be truly useful. And then other times we would test a recipe and just not like it and just decide, like, it's okay, we can let that one go. We don't have to memorialize every single recipe.
You've added sections on nutrition and food safety, food waste, sustainability. Why was that important to you to include in this?
Well, I think it's just, you know, we want to keep current with the times. And I think those are concerns that a lot of people have. The nutrition chapter, that's been thoroughly updated, but we've had that for a long time now. But yeah, you know, like we now have a section on, you know, how to responsibly purchase fish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with regard to, you know, we try to cover fish fraud and, you know,
how to shop for, you know, instead of going to the seafood counter and always buying the big tuna steak, you know, maybe considering other fish that are a little lower on the food chain. So it's a little more sustainable, and like how to cook them and how to substitute one type of fish for another. So trying to give cooks practical tools to deal with some of the changes that we're facing in the market.
My guests are John Becker and Megan Scott. We're talking about The Joy of Cooking, 2019 edition, the ninth edition. There's lots of cocktails in here.
Yes, we love and cocktails.
And you've kept some of the classics. I have it open up to Irma's Gin and Juice.
Yeah, first recipe in the first edition.
Pre-hip-hop, man.
Yeah, and Prohibition era, actually.
Yes.
So, yeah, this was, you know, one of Irma's ways of trying to make things easier for home cooks who were faced with bathtub gin. And, you know, how do we make this, you know, illicit spirit palatable? I think that was probably, you know, on a high priority for a lot of folks.
And I think that's kind of part of, you know, people ask us all the time why she called it The Joy of Cooking, because it seems a little almost Pollyanna-like to say the joy mm-hmm. of cooking, because it's not always joyful. But I think that first recipe for gin and juice was her way of injecting joy into the situation.
I also like that they're all one serving.
Yes.
Yeah. You know.
We don't recommend drinking alone, but
in case you are. So you've added recipes, and to your point, they've really updated based on the ingredients that people want to know more about. Kale, for example, and you have a banh mi. That's kind of cool that you have that in there too.
Yeah.
What went into the decisions of what to add?
Well, I mean, you know, some of them were like, you know, we would look at a section and think like, well, what's missing from here that is obviously, you know, popular now? And, you know, I mean, that's just based on our own intuition of mm-hmm. and our own, you know, knowledge of the culinary scene. But a lot of it had to do more with like, you know, what are we excited to cook in our home? What recipes are really speak to us and that we would think they, you know, would speak to others.
And for example, you know, in the eggs chapter, when we were updating that, we wanted to show different ways that eggs are cooked around the world. So we added shakshuka and we added a Thai recipe called son-in-law eggs. Just as, you know, I think that America has changed even over the past 10 years and people are really excited and interested in foods from other cultures or like foods mm-hmm. that have been incorporated into American culinary culture.
Let's talk about two recipes in the book because we're near holiday season. Whole berry cranberry sauce.
Yes.
What's the origin of this recipe?
I think that it was, it might have been added in the 1997 edition, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, a fantastic, easy to make, you know, just super quick.
It is really the easiest Thanksgiving side. And I love it also because you can make it a week ahead of time. So you don't have to worry. You know, you can just make it, put it in your fridge, and it's done. That's one thing off your to-do list.
Yeah. So you think it's worth it to make your own? My sister will have nothing else, but
yeah, I think it's definitely worth. I mean, I do have a little bit of nostalgia for the canned cranberry sauce with the ridges and everything, yeah. but I do think it tastes better when you make your own.
Well, and plus, it's like, you know, well-being. Your well-being during Thanksgiving holiday is like, you know, if you can make it ahead of time, you know, you're setting yourself up for success, and that's just a super easy one to do.
There's a banana rip bread recipe in here.
And yes.
I'm afraid to say the last part
of it.
Cocaine. Thank you.
Yeah. No, it's, that was actually the that was a name that Marion would give to dishes that she created in her home that she was especially proud of. She called her home Cocaine after it's a medieval French term for a magical land of plenty where, you know, cooked fowl roam the streets waiting to be eaten and the rivers flow with wine. Or, you know, it's just a...
So romantic.
No, it is.
It's a very nice place. I would like to visit.
I love that also on the cover of the book, you have everybody in the family named. What went into that decision?
Well, it was, I mean,
I feel like it wasn't even,
out.
Yeah, it wasn't even a decision that we mm-hmm. felt like we needed to make. It was clear that we had to have Irma and Marion and Ethan, John's dad. You know, I think the list of names has gotten longer and longer, but we couldn't leave anyone out because part of this book is its tremendous legacy, and we certainly were not removing everything that Irma and Marion did, and we're trying very much to follow in their footsteps, so we had to make sure that they were on the cover.
And it kind of speaks to our kind of editorial philosophy when we were revising. You know, we definitely felt like we were building onto something. We didn't want to transform it. We didn't want to necessarily reinvent it. We just wanted to make it better. And that's pretty much like, I mean, it sounds like a super simple philosophy to have when you're revising a book, but you know, every section, that's what we wanted to do. We just wanted to make it more complete, more useful, more convenient, more, yeah, just better.
Doesn't seem like a fair question to ask, but I'm gonna ask it. Do you have a favorite recipe?
It kind of changes depending
today.
I really love, I mean, the banana bread you mentioned earlier is one of our favorites for sure. It has an optional addition of dried apricots, which is a little unconventional, but I really, really love the apricots in that recipe. It really makes it.
I feel like it shouldn't be optional.
It's yeah, so good. I agree. It's so good.
How about for you? What do you think, John?
You know, we're getting into like, you know, kind of braising weather, okay. I think. And so, I'm just going to go with the cow soy guy. That's a fantastic Thai braised chicken and noodle dish. Has a nice curry broth with, it's half stock and half coconut milk, so it's not super heavy. And then it gets a topping of crispy fried noodles. It's really, really good. And it's garnished with pickled mustard greens and some fried chili paste. It's just, that's kind of like where my flavor palette, you know, that's where my preferences lie, is with the spicier stuff. So it's really good.
I have one suggestion and one observation. The suggestion is you guys should have a podcast about this. That's my suggestion. And my observation is you've talked about the joy of cooking like it's a person. Like we work for the joy, the joy is spirit. Do you think about it that way? Like this is an individual?
It almost feels like that sometimes. And I think, you know, John has said that he never got to meet Marion or Irma. Marion died in 76 and Irma in 1962. So this is how he's gotten to know both of them, is through the joy of cooking. So I think it does in some ways embody a person.
Yeah, you know, and I know that we have both, you know, just through all of our research and all of our recipe testing, we really have internalized the book. And, you know, I kind of feel like in a certain way, it's it's part of us. But, like you said, it's also its own kind of, has its own personality.
And it has its own, I think the joy of cooking is kind of unique because it has its own life in the kitchens of its readers. We have really a really unique and special relationship with our readers because they, you know, use the book and then they pass it down to their children or their grandchildren. And so many people reach out to us and say, oh, I have my grandmother's copy and I always think of her when I make this recipe, or, you know, her notes are in the margins. So the book really does kind of have a life of its own.
The Joy of Cooking 2019 edition, the ninth edition, is currently available. John Becker and Megan Scott, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Coming up, Gothamist arts and culture editor Ben Yakis is back with more recommendations for what to watch to get you through this period. We call it Binging with Ben today, classic comedies. Stay with us.